Welcome everyone. I'm happy to welcome you to today's teleseminar on clingy children, frustrated parents. My name is Ottilia Mantelers and my co-presenter's name is Lyra Destrange. And we really know how precious your time is, so thank you for taking your time to join us on the call today. And we hope you will get some fresh ideas that you can take away from this teleseminar on clinginess and on separation, actually, to try out with your children. So there are several parents registered for this call, about 100. So I'd like to first talk a little bit about hand-in-hand parenting, about the organization, to allow people who are joining the call to settle in. Yeah? So hand-in-hand is a non-profit organization which is based in California. We have instructors all around the world, including myself. I am in Romania, and my co-presenter, Lyra, she's from Australia. And after so many thousands of hours of real life experience working with parents and children, Patty Whistler, you may have heard of her, she founded Hand in Hand Parenting in 1989. So we have a website, handinhandparenting.org, where you can find many free articles. You can find the core booklets which talk about the parenting by connection philosophy. We have many podcasts of our teleseminars, which later become available for sale. We have Building Emotional Understanding, our core classes, which are led by instructors and which are online. And you can find all of these. We also have a Yahoo discussion group where you can post your questions and some of our instructors will answer your questions. And, yeah, that's about the website a little bit. Further, I want to tell you about the hand-in-hand parenting mission, which is to support parents and provide them with the insights and skills that they need to listen to and connect with their children in such a way that it allows children to thrive. At the core of hand-in-hand philosophy stays connection. And connection is seen as that state where the parent looks the child in the eye and gives the feeling of, you are amazing, I am so happy you are in my life, I am so fortunate to be your parent. So that's connection explained in a couple of words. And parenting by connection philosophy has a couple of listening tools which promote this connection, this way of being with our children. Another core belief that supports hand-in-hand parenting mission is that listening is the key strategy for building connection. And we have four listening tools which are parent to child. And Lyra and I are going to talk about them in a bit. We're going to focus on some of them. And these parent to child tools are special time, play listening, setting limits, and stay listening. And we also have one tool which is really, really important, which is parent-to-parent listening tool. It's the listening partnership, and I will talk about it later in a bit. Okay. Yeah. Well, what else? Do you think I should add something else, Lyra, to this?
I think only that feeling connected to our children or our children's feeling connected to us is really important for them to stay on track with their behavior. And often all the frustrating things and disconnections that or behavioral problems that we see are just from this lack of connection, so just how important that connection is.
And one of these behaviors we're going to address today, the clinginess and the separation. So now I'd like to briefly introduce myself, and then I will ask Lyra to do the same, and afterwards I'm going to introduce the topic of clinginess, and we're going to talk about some of the tools applied to this particular behavior of clinginess. So thank you once again for joining the call. For those of you who have just joined us, this call is on the topic of clingy children, frustrated parents, and I'd like to briefly introduce myself. My name is Ottilia Mantelers once again, and I'm really, really pleased to do this teleseminar today with my co-presenter, Lyra Destrange. Now I'd like to invite Lyra to also introduce herself. Oh yeah, I forgot to say that I have three children. I have an 8-year-old son and a 6-year-old girl and another 3.5-year-old daughter. And I'm teaching parenting by connection classes in Romania across the country. And I am also teaching building emotional understanding, the hand-in-hand parenting course in the online version. So that's a bit about me. And this topic of clinginess is very, very dear to me because I particularly used to be a very clingy child, and also because my oldest son had a lot of separation anxiety. So, Lyra, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Ottilia. Yes. Thank you for that lovely introduction as well.
Yes.
So my name's Lyra Lestrange, and I live in Australia, just south of Sydney.
Yes.
And I have two children, my son is 4.5 and my daughter has just turned 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I first came to Hand in Hand when I was actually pregnant with my eldest child, and so I've sort of tried to practice these philosophies from when he was born and also with my daughter when she was born.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I had the two of them, when my daughter was about 6 months old, that I did the building emotional understanding course, and I just loved it. Even though I sort of knew the ideas, I really got it when I participated in that course, and that's when I decided to become an instructor last year, and so I was able to then pass on some of what I've learned to parents like you. And yeah, so that's how I've come to be here tonight. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lyra. That was so nice to hear about your story with and how you came close to Hand in Hand.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do now, I'm going to briefly introduce the topic of our teleseminar, and then I'm going to make a short description of the structure of what we're going to talk about, and then finally we're going to start describing the tools, and we'll have a 15-minute question towards the end of this teleseminar. But remember, anytime you have a question, you can just interrupt us and raise your hand by pressing star 2. Okay, so about clinginess, the clinginess, we have those, I think all of us who are on the call today, maybe that's why we are on this call, we know what clingy children do. What do? We give them our attention, we give them a lot of our heart, of our love, and there are times when they feel like they don't know what to do with it, and they cling to our legs. They don't want to go to the toilet without us. They don't want to go on the slide without our hand. They don't want to go upstairs into a particular room if we don't join them. They don't want to say goodbye when we go to kindergarten. They don't want to go to bed without us. They want to be in our arms from morning till evening. And this can be very frustrating for parents. But what I'd like to talk in the introduction is, why do children tend to get so clingy? What is it that makes them cling to our bodies? It's usually two things. It can be two things. There are small things that promote this clingy behavior, such as, for example, I haven't been with my children a lot during the weekend because I was very busy. And this morning and yesterday morning, I saw that they wanted my attention and they were claiming it in a very obnoxious way, I thought. So small moments of disconnection from their parents can make children very clingy. And we can address this this disconnection by doing special time with them or doing play listening, as Lyra will later on tell you. But there are also big things, like big and deep fears, which make children feel clingy to us. For example, a difficult birth, the separation after birth, or a hospitalization, or a car accident, or a longer separation from the parents. For example, if one parent left abroad for a couple of days, all these things can, all these happenings instill fear in our children's minds, and they tend to cling to us because they think like they are not safe in the world. So their clingy behavior is just a sign of, Mom, Dad, I don't feel safe in the world. So what we'll be doing today, we'll be focusing on how to address clinginess by using all these parenting by connection tools. And in the first section, I would like to talk about listening partnership, which is a tool especially for parents, because we do get frustrated, right, when our children cling to us in such a way. First of all, just a few words about listening partnership, about what it is. It is a listening tool which you plan. So it's a time that you plan with someone else, with another parent usually, and you set aside, for example, let's say 10 minutes each, and then I start talking about something that bothers me. Let's say I start talking about the fact that I really hate it when my youngest daughter clings to my legs, and I really hate it when she pulls my hair when she's in my arms, and then the other partner is listening to me in a way that makes me feel safe, and I can say whatever comes to my mind. She doesn't give me feedback. She doesn't judge me for what I'm feeling, and she just listens to me so that I offload the frustration, and then I can go back to my daughter and say and listen to her in a very helpful way. So I'll give you a short example about it with a separation. I once told my listening partner, like, I'm fed up. Every morning my daughter wants me to carry her around in the house and my back hurts and everything. And then my listening partner asked me, okay, so did you feel clingy like this to any of your parents when you were young? And I said, yes, I felt clingy, but I didn't do anything about it. I always wanted to be in the arms of my mother. And then I started crying about how my mother left me with my grandparents for weeks after each mm-hmm. other, because that was a situation in our country at the time, that parents couldn't be with their children. They were working a lot. And so I cried. And after remembering and reliving the separation from my mom and missing her and, just missing my mom, helped me be a better parent for my daughter, helped me set a limit with my daughter, helped me play with her better. So, I really... We recommend that hand-in-hand parenting, we do recommend to have listening time, to set aside some listening time for us. Yeah. So, Lyra, would you like now to talk about special time and play listening, how we can use them to address clinginess?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Adrian. Yeah. So, two of our tools, special time and play listening, are all about putting your child in charge of the relationship. So when you're playing with them in this way, you're following the child's lead, you're following their laughter, you're doing what connects you really quickly, and often that involves more eye contact, more touch, that it can be quite physical play, or it doesn't have to be. Anything that really connects you and you follow your child's lead, you let them lead. And laughter builds connection very, very quickly and closeness very, very quickly between two people, especially parent and child. Mm-hmm. And you can find out more about the specifics of special time and play listening there's a lot written about it on the website or in our Building Emotional Understanding course. But basically what happens is when a child then feels that connection with you, and they build up that sense of safety, I guess, with you, that emotional safety where they can feel that you're listening to them, they can feel that you're there, then they are able to then release some of the tension that they have or the clinginess or upset that they are carrying through their laughter. And this can happen when it's a minor fear that's behind the clinginess or just some kind of little upset or little disconnection that they've had. So that laughter allows them to feel you close again and feel connected, so then they can think better about the situation. So, and this works especially if you can make playing this way something that you do often, and you often see quite a big difference in your child's clinginess over time if you can schedule into your day some play listening or some special time with your child in order for them to be able to feel that connection with you, because that's what they're craving when they're being clingy and can't let you out of their sight. It's just, that's their way of asking help. I really need some connection here. I really need to feel you close. So I can give you a few examples of some kind of playful games and activities that you can do in to address a child's clinginess. And so, for instance, you could reverse the roles. This often brings on a lot of laughter, especially with children who are immobile, who can walk and run and talk, but even little ones as well. So you can reverse the roles and say, for instance, if they're leaving, just about to walk out of the room, you can say, no, please, don't go, don't leave me here. Or you can, I did this with my son when he first started preschool. He had a bit of trouble with a separation anxiety and the drop-off and me saying goodbye. And so we instigated a game where I would pretend that I was the one getting dropped off and he was going back home or going to work, and I would say, no, don't leave me at preschool. And he would just laugh and say, well, no, Mum, you're too big to come. You're too big to do this. And so he was, very much following that, I was very much following his lead in looking for what made him laugh, and then so he could release that tension around dropping him off at preschool. So that definitely made a difference over time, like as we did that over a few weeks. He was very much better with the separation. The other things you can do, like even the classic games like hide and seek and peekaboo, they're really classic separation games where you disappear for a little while and then you pop up and there you are again. And this really builds connection very quickly with your child, but also releasing, when they laugh in these games, they're often releasing some fears there that have become stuck in their minds about the separations that they've experienced in the past. And this can work really well with addressing clinginess, because they are better able to shed that tension that they're feeling about you going away somewhere, even if it is to hide from hide and seek in the cupboard or whatever it might be, or peekaboo behind a towel, or your hands. It is on that core level, it's addressing that separation, that clinginess that they're feeling, that that they want you near all the time, and when you're not there and then you appear again, then it brings on that laughter. Mm-hmm. And the third example I can give you is when a child is feeling clingy to one parent more than the other. For instance, that they don't want to be with dad, they just want to be with mum all the time. And this can be quite common for whatever reasons. But one way you can address that playfully is to have both parents step in and play a tug of war over the child. So, for example, you can run and try and grab your child and say, oh, I've got a hug for Charlie. Come here, I've got a hug for you. And then the dad can come in and say, no, 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 he's mine, he's mine. I want to give him all the hugs. And then the mum can step back in and say, no, 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 you can't give him hugs. I need to give him hugs. And so he feels very loved and very topped up with attention from both parents. So when it comes to being clingy towards one, then some of those fears there about being left with the other parent may have been released just through that laughter and that closeness that they've built up through playing those kind of games. So often as you do these games over time, you can build up the safety then and the closeness between you and your child. And then, but this can often also pave the way for the safety to be there to release deeper hurts. So I'll pass it over back to Attilia to address that with the next section.
Okay, thank you, Lyra. These are so wonderful examples of playing with the children and connecting with them, because the children, that's their primary language. It's play, isn't it?
Yeah.
Laughter is the way, is the one way to get two hearts together.
Yeah.
So what you presented, Lyra, is really the fun part of healing the fear of separation. And it's so important. I mean, you cannot do the part that I'm going to talk about now, the setting limits part and the stay listening, without doing the special time and the play listening. So, so besides the two fun ways to address the clinginess, when the fear is deep, we need to set some limits when a sort of unreasonable behavior crops up. For example, when your child says, like, I want to be in your arms right now, mommy, and if you don't pick up your child, then the child starts crying. What happens at that point is that something happens. There's a trigger which rises the fear of separation, which is already installed in your child's limbic system. The limbic system is that part of the brain which is the emotional center of our mind, and that is a sort of reservoir of emotions. Part of the limbic system. So whenever the child feels afraid, then that part of the system becomes overwhelmed with the fear of separation, and the child's behavior becomes out of control. Sometimes they cling to us, other times they get aggressive. So it's the same type of fear which can cause all types of behaviors, but in our case we talk about clinginess. And what we need to do is to set limits so that the child can start feeling, like really feeling, that things are safe. Setting limits is an important connection tool which allows the child to be to feel your arms around him, whether we hold the child physically in our arms or we just are present there for them so that they feel our connection. So setting limits means that you just go to your child's level, you look into his eyes, and you say, no, I'm sorry, sweetie, I'm not going to pick you up in my arms right now. I think you are safe just to be with me. So once you set a limit, sometimes, most of the times, the child will not be happy about it, and they will start crying. And then what we do at Hand in Hand Parenting, we listen to the crying, because we see crying and tantruming. But research shows that crying and tantruming are physical mechanisms to offload old emotions, to offload separation anxiety, if you want. So I'm going to give you a personal example with my daughter, with my 6-year-old daughter, at the time she was 4, in which I'd like to illustrate how we use these tools to help the child feel that the world is a safe place. So Anna, my second daughter, when she was 4, she started having a period where she didn't want to be with me anymore. She just wanted to be around my husband. who's a very nice man. And so that's why, I don't know why she wanted to be with him, but I think that part of the reason was because she felt disconnected with me, and because my mere presence made her feel the separation. So she wanted to do everything just with her father. And I approached this from two ways. I did the fun part about which Lyra was talking a bit before. So I first approached her clinginess to her dad with play. She was saying, "Mommy, I want to go to daddy." And then I'd say, "Oh, of course, of course. How would you like to travel to your daddy? Would you like to travel by plane?" And then I would pick her up in the air. "Or would you like to travel by horse?" And then I would be her horse. Or other times, I would get dressed in her father's clothes, and I would start speaking Dutch, because my husband is Dutch. And I would say, "Oh, my princess, I'm here. Your mommy just called me." And she would start laughing. And this and this laughter would make her feel connected. But another time, I used setting limits and stay listening to help her heal the separation, the clinginess. And we were going by bicycle, and Anna told me, "Mommy, I want to stop here, and I want you to go home and fetch daddy for me, because I'm not going to go home with you." Mm-hmm. And then I set a limit, and I said, "No, sweetie, I'm just going to take you home. I think it's safe that you come with me home. I'm not going to bring your dad." And then she started crying and raging, like, "No, I want daddy now, right now. You are horrible. I don't like you. I want someone else. I want daddy to come. You are not a good mom." Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just listening. I would stay listening to her. I would stay there and say, "No, sweetie, you're fine with me. I love you so much. It's safe to be with your mommy." And she cried for about half an hour, maybe 40 minutes. And I would just hold her hand and stay next to the bicycles. And in the end, she said, "Okay, mommy, let's go home and we can play this game." So what happened is that, she released some of her separation anxiety, some of it, not all of it. Children don't release it all at once. They don't work like that. They release some of it today, some of it over 1 month, some of it over a couple of months. It doesn't end. And afterwards, she could connect with me and she would accept me more into her life. Like, her behavior would become more flexible to in choosing between me and my husband. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so thank you for listening to this story. And you, Lyra, I think you have a nice story on setting limits and...
thank you, Atelier. Yeah. It was a lovely story to hear, and just how the depth of your wisdom in using all the tools to approach the issue as well. Yeah, we really like hearing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my example is from when my son was quite young, probably around 1 year old. He could only just walk, and it was beginning to be quite a repetitive behavior. In the afternoon, he would kind of cling onto my legs and hold onto me and try and just wanting to be picked up all the time when I was trying to cook dinner or clean up the kitchen or do whatever I needed to do at that point of the day. And he was always asking to be picked up, and for a while I did pick him up and, you know, held him and, you know, got the aching back from doing everything one-handed and holding him on my hip, which isn't, you know, I'm sure everyone can relate to that. But having had some insights through some of these tools, I thought, okay, I'm going to try setting a limit here and not picking him up one day, because I could sense that some of his clinginess and his behavior there had feelings behind it that weren't, that were getting in the way of him enjoying his time. And on this particular day, I knew that I had given a lot in terms of playing with him and helping him do what he needed to do throughout the day. So we were feeling quite connected. But yet again, that same time where I would start making dinner and he would come over and just want to be picked up. And yeah, so instead of picking him up this day, I came down to his eye level and said to him, "I'm right here. but I'm not going to pick you up today. And often too, children can kind of bury their feelings in us, like he wanted to snuggle in really, really close. I wanted to be picked up or held, because he's burying those feelings that are inside of him that are making him unhappy. So often having a little bit of distance and setting that limit with a little bit of distance helps them to access those feelings, and you can find that sweet spot between them being bearing the feelings and not feeling them, to having that little bit of distance to trigger that feeling so that they can release it all and release all that tension behind what is driving the behavior, and then come out the other side. And so in this particular instance, I got down on his level, offered him that eye contact, but just held him a little bit away from my body as well, and just said, I'm not going to pick you up, but I am right here. And he started to cry about wanting to be picked up, and I wouldn't do that. And lots of tears, and then they would subside a bit, and I would stand back up again and turn around to the kitchen bench, and sure enough, one hand on my leg and grabbing hold again, wanting to be picked up, and so I'd got down on his level again, set the limit again, saying, no, I'm right here, I can see that you want to be picked up, but I'm not going to pick you up now. And those kind of things you can say even to a child that's not, that can't talk so well, because I think you can even get into the habit of saying it to your newborn. Those kind of things, I think, just go, they understand a lot more than what we give them credit for. So saying those words with that warmth, with the not hurrying, just listening as he offloaded all his tension around wanting to be picked up, like lots of crying, lots of tears. And as Otilia mentioned, that we look at that as a very healing process and a way that a child's limbic system then can get rid of all those feelings that are flooding it and clouding their thinking, clouding their judgment, or clouding that sense of connection with us. And so after probably about 10 or 15 minutes of doing this up-down, setting that limit, going back to what I was doing, setting a limit again, my son was able then to really make eye contact with me, really look at me and see me and feel me there. And then he was able to sit down and play with the toys that I had on the floor for him by himself while I did what I needed to do in the kitchen. So that it doesn't always happen textbook like that, but it's happened quite a lot for me to see that process happening of that. It's your job to listen to the child. It's their job to offload those feelings, have a good cry, have a tantrum, whatever it might be, in order to be able to reassess the situation again, to think about it differently, or to feel you close enough there so he's okay about separation or not being picked up, or and then doesn't have to cling to you every time you need to leave the room. So, I'll hand it back over to Otilia now, and we'll move on. But thank you.
Thank you. Lyra, that was such a wonderful example, because most of us parents don't dare to set a limit about having the child in our arms. It is very difficult, right, when you see those little arms going up towards you, and isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So it takes so much courage to try this tool. The very first time, when you do it the first time, because it feels like, oh my God, I'm resisting and I'm not offering him connection. That's the first thought which comes to your mind. But then when you see what happened to your little child and how flexible and how wonderful he felt afterwards.
Yep, then that makes it all worthwhile. Yeah.
I think I wanted to, before we open up for questions, I wanted to add two things to the topic of clinginess and implicitly separation anxiety. Research has shown that actually Daniel Siegel, whom we all love at Hand in Hand Parenting, he researched and he showed that if we ourselves as a parent have a separation anxiety issue, then that which we lived during our childhood, then that issue becomes encoded in our genes. So the moment that we give birth to our children, then our children are born with part of our experience. So I'm just saying this because I know lots of parents who feel very guilty that their children are clingy and they have separation anxiety. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in order to release part of this guilt, like, you know, it's not just us who cause, you know, to our children separation anxiety. It's also our experience and there are other people around. So I just wanted to take off the guilt from the parents because, yeah, being a parent is so, is such an emotional work and difficult work. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention is that all these parenting by connection tools are there to release something that happened to the child, some old hurt. So that is the good news, that even if some hurt entered your child's system, it can go out no matter how difficult and traumatic it was. If we use special time, if we use play listening, if we set limits and listen to the feelings which come afterwards, then all these old hurts can be undone. So that's the good and encouraging thing about parenting by connection tools, isn't it?
Yes, it's never too late. Never too late.
So, Lyra, shall we open up for questions now?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's time.
Yeah.
Could do that.
So you are still all muted, but if you want to raise a question or if you want to make a comment, just press on star 2 to raise your hands, and then I will we will open up the line for you. Yeah, so just press star 2 on your either on your phone or on your Skype if you called in by Skype.
And even if you don't have a question and just want to share a story with us or an insight that you've had, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, definitely.
If anyone wants to share, does anyone have a child at the moment who's being quite clingy to you, and would you like to share the kind of things that they're doing, or share something with us.
I see Missy Lexi. Yes. Okay, Lexi. You are unmuted, I think. Let me see. Yes. Lexi,
do you
are
hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Hello, Lexi.
Hi, Odilia. I have one question. My daughter is 6 months old, so is it too early for her to be clingy, I mean, at this age? Because for me, I have this thing that is becoming a little bit of issue as she's growing up, because I'm the only one spending time with her. It's okay as long, I mean, she goes, she's very sociable, she goes to everyone, as long as she can see me. The moment she doesn't see me, she starts crying. And I was thinking at what you were saying about childhood experiences, and I was also raised by grandparents, but I had a very very happy childhood. But I remember waiting every Friday for the night bus for them to come, and they would not come the moment they would say. So I was thinking at what you were saying right now. She's 6 months old and is becoming, I mean, I have to go back to work soon, and it's becoming an issue.
Yeah. So your question is whether it's too soon to show this separation anxiety, or?
Yes. I mean, yeah. Is she conscious of that at this age?
Yes. At this age, most researchers show that around the age of 6 or 7 months old, the child becomes conscious of being separating from the mother, or the attachment figure, not necessarily the mother, the primary caregiver. And I think that it's a strong sign of attachment for her age when she looks, you know, she wants to see you, because it's very, it can be very frightening for a child that age to be in the arms of so many people at once. So I think it's a good sign of attachment to feel like that. Yeah. But they can, if there is any separation fear instilled in them, then they can feel it at any age. Research shows that children start having feelings like when they are 5 months old in the womb already. So if she feels something, then she can manifest it like that. Yeah, she can cling to you maybe. But at this age, she's she needs you more than so it's okay. What you ask is it's okay for you to miss you and to want to be in your arms. Yeah,
all the time.
No, at other times she can be held by the father, by her father, or by the grandma, or by someone else whom she's familiar with. No, she doesn't need to be in your arms all the time. And I think you can help her if she wants only you. If, you know, you remember the Lyra was saying earlier that some children prefer to be with one particular parent or with one particular person. And that is a sign of inflexibility. And when there is an inflexible behavior, then there is some fear underneath. And if she prefers to be only with you and she's not happy with daddy, then she has some separation fears. And you can say, yes, I think it's fine for you to be with daddy now. And she can be in your husband's arms, and she can cry there safely to release the fear of separation. Is that all right?
Yeah, thank you. I'm a bit sensitive when it comes to crying, so usually the moment I see that she's not, you know, happy, I just pick her up immediately. People keep saying that I should leave her to cry, and I don't agree with, like...
No, not on her own, never on her own. Crying in the arms is very healing. Just crying with crying on her own is not healing, but crying in your arms, feeling the safety of your arms and feeling your attention, that is very healing. That can heal her fear of separation.
Yeah, no, she immediately, the moment I have her in my arms or I pick her up, she immediately, like, nothing happens. So she just, you know...
Yeah.
Gets attached to me, and I'm still breastfeeding her, so usually that's the best thing that she wants to do to calm herself down anytime. So thank you so much for your
welcome, Lexi. Thank you. So are there other questions? Would someone else, would somebody want to share a story or ask a question about clingy behavior? Lyra, do you have other stories of your own?
I'm just trying to think.
Your children.
I think there's, I can elaborate a little more about the preschool drop-off and I think, as well as the games that I mentioned when my son and also when my daughter started preschool, and they only go 2 days a week, and it's their choosing. They really wanted to do that because all their friends are going, and but still there's, you know, there is, it is a big thing for them and for me to have that, them be separated from me and their dad for so much of the day. And I think, as well as the games in the morning about you know, dropping off and me reversing the role, saying, no, no, please don't go, please don't go, those kind of things. It was really important for me to listen to them both cry at the end of the day in particular, when often when they would see me come to pick them up, they would just run to me and cling onto me and just bury themselves in me and cry, because they just, you know, they've been holding on to these so much all throughout the day, and then when they see me, that is just a trigger for all that emotion to come pouring out. And I think that happens when one of two things, and there's lots of stuff for the child that they're holding on to and that they're processing throughout the day, and also having that sense of safety and connection with me enables them to be able to cry in my arms and offload that tension. So there's been a lot of afternoons after preschool where I've made the time and planned for this, because it's something that I've been aware of, that, you know, they need that bit of extra time to reconnect after a long day. And so, yeah, being able to cry about it and to process that was then able them to go back again the next time, the next day that they were going to preschool, in a much better frame of mind, and much easier on them, not so clingy to me. So I think that really helped over time, having both addressing that separation issue and not wanting me to go, or not wanting to go to preschool, through playing, and also by listening to them cry or have their upset at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story, Lara. Thank you. Do you have other questions? That you'd like to discuss with us, or something to share? No? No. Okay. So, Lara, do you think it's a good idea to wrap up our talk at this point?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
In case during our last words, in case you remember something, just press star 2, and we will always interrupt and answer your questions. Okay?
Yeah.
So to wrap up what we discussed today, we talked about what drives clinginess, and we were saying that there are small things such as short moments of disconnection. For example, when you answer the phone and you talk to someone else, and then your child suddenly starts feeling disconnected from you. So that's a small moment of disconnection which can trigger clinginess. And then there are big moments of disconnection, such as being separated from the mother at birth, being born before the official deadline, or being separated for a longer period of time from one of the parents, not only from the mom, because moms think that if we are there, then the children are happy, but the children need the fathers just as much. So when they're separating from their fathers, they still feel sad. So we said that two things, small, big and small, cause clinginess. And then we discussed the tools that hand-in-hand parenting suggests to address the clinginess. And Lara was talking about special time and play listening to heal the separation fear. And then we both gave examples of our own with our children about how to set limits with them, like saying in a very sweet and very very loving but firm way, no, just saying that no, you know. Yeah, I will stop a little bit because I see Catalina raising her hand. Yeah, Catalina, hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Hi, Catalina.
Sorry. Thank you very much. I just remembered something, just a sec. It's not quite my particular case, because I have only one child for now.
Okay.
But I have friends who have two children or three children, like your case, you and Laura. And I was thinking, what does a parent, a mother or a father do when an older child becomes clingy because of a smaller child? because I tend to see in other groups that the older, those who are older tend to cling to their mothers when they see them hold the mother holding the other, the brother or the sister, which sometimes can lead to very awkward situations for the mother. In my case, I have only one child, but I always fear because I want to have more. I always think of what will I do when my son now wants to stay with me and I cannot give him all of my full attention because I'll have another one.
Yeah. Lyra, would you like to answer this question?
Sure. It's a great question, Catalina, and something that I think any parent of more than one child has thought about as well and or has experienced. And certainly I have with my two. And I think when a new sibling is born and you're tending to that new sibling and there's so much time that you need to put into attending to a newborn's needs in terms of feeding and bathing and dressing and all sorts of things. And often it changes the dynamic with the family very quickly, and the older child can have all these big feelings about mum or dad not having as much time for him anymore, as having to share everything with Sherry's family with this new being. And often then the feelings behind that clinginess can build up and build up over time. So, for instance, if you're holding your baby and preparing to breastfeed, for example, and your older child just suddenly wants something to eat, wants you to read a story, wants you to do whatever, or just wants to sit on your lap, wants you there, maybe all these feelings are coming up for him and it's being triggered by seeing you with the baby, and then all those feelings are flooding his mind and coming to the forefront. And it may not be just that instance, it may be from past experiences in the few weeks or months before that have all kind of built up, and so this clingy behavior is coming out quite strongly whenever you're paying attention to someone else. So the way that you can help an older child with those feelings is through what we discussed in terms of you can do when the baby's asleep or when someone else has the baby, build up that connection with your older child through special time, through play listening, so he can really feel you there and doesn't have to compete so much with your attention for the younger one. And also then you can go into setting limits and staying and listening with him as well if you need to. And often that can help him shed those deeper fears that, you know, you're never going to have enough time for him, or the deeper things that can cause him to become clingy to you. So you can set a limit when you can say, no, I need to be with the baby right now, but, you know, I will, you know, be with you soon, or whatever it might be. So, yeah, does that help?
Yeah, thank you very much. So don't just tell the older one, you know, you have to respect my time with the baby now. Always promise that your time will come.
Yeah, and just making sure, though, that you balance it out with that special time and play listening whenever you can with the older child, so it sort of, you know, you build up that sense of safety and that sense of connection with him, so then it doesn't become so much of an issue to when you do have to spend time with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great, thank you very much.
Yeah. Otilia, did you want to add anything to that?
No, that was great. That was great, Lyra. No, I have nothing more to add. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if there are no other questions, then I'd like to stop here and to continue the wrapping up that we were saying. I was saying that we have all these wonderful tools to address clinginess. We have the fun special time and play listening, and we have the deeper, but a bit more difficult to put in place, setting limits and stay listening. And for us, for our own frustration about our children being clingy, We have listening partnership, which helps us heal our own past previous hurts from our childhood. Yeah, so thank you so much for being with us. And maybe you, Lyra, would like to talk a bit about Hand in Hand and about what we have to offer.
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah,
and about your future building emotional understanding class that you will deliver.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, great. So we've got a few more teleseminars coming up, so you can check out our website, handinhandparenting.org, for those. And there's also lots of other free resources on the website, and you can sign up for a monthly newsletter. There's lots of articles, and as Ottilia mentioned also in the introduction, there's a free Yahoo discussion group on email to have your questions answered. There's also a great article, which I'll just mention, called I think, Separation Anxiety Recovery, which is very insightful, written by Patty. So if you do a search for that on the website, it should come up. And also, if you're wanting to delve more deeply into the skills or the tools that we offer at Hand in Hand, we do an instructor-led six-week-long class called Building Emotional Understanding, which I think the name's actually just changed to Parenting by Connection Starter Class. So all the details of that are on our website as well. And this class receives great reviews, and it's the best way to learn about our approach. And the classes are small, so you'll receive lots of personalized attention. So I think we both offer those online. We mentor you through calls like this online as part of the online class. And I'm also running one in person next term, which starts on the 14th of October in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales in Australia. And you can find the details for that on my website, which is lyraellestrange.com. So I would love for you to join in on that if you live local. And also if you're looking for even more personalized attention or have got something, a really hard issue that you're trying to solve, we do offer one-on-one consultations through Hand in Hand as well. Okay. And just like to mention that Hand in Hand Parenting is a non-profit organisation. It depends on your donation to provide free services like this parenting call, this teleseminar, and also all the articles on our website and our discussion group and scholarships for classes and instructor training. So it's easy to donate through the website, and any amount helps. So you can give what you can, and together we can support parents all over the world. Great. Okay. So with that, we'll wrap up this call. So thank you for joining us today. We hope we've enjoyed the teleseminar, and it's been great to have you with us.